Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. I'm John Rensenhouse, and I'll be your host this week for another lively episode of our new talk and game show called Oh My God, Did You Just Say That?
Happy talk, keep talking, happy talk. Talk about things you'd like to do.
Ah, yes, those are the wonderful vocal stylings of our very own Miss Evelyn Tewksbury. Oh, she just keeps going and going. Stop, Evelyn, stop. Happy talk, that's our theme song for Oh My God, Did You Just Say That? This is a show, ladies and gentlemen, where the guests try to win valuable points by inspiring, coercing, or inveigling the host to say, Oh my God, did you just say that? Yeah, inveigling, huh? That's a nice one, isn't it? Look it up, folks. It's a good one, and I've got some guests here today who can inveigle with the best of them. And such delightful people they are. Please welcome to the show the hardest working woman in showbiz, the ubiquitous director, the talented actress, the executive artistic director of the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, and a lady who knows her way around a cake pan. Please welcome Miss Sydney Garrett.
Hello, thank you for that lovely welcome.
And in the other corner, we have a legend of the Kansas City theatrical scene, the golden voice of the airwaves, an original founder of Kansas City Actors Theater, and a guy who can pretty much get a massage anytime he wants, because that's what his wife, Teresa's profession is, Mr. Walter Coppedge.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, okay, Walter, is this true? Can you get a massage pretty much any time you want? You come home, you're feeling a little shoulder tension. Is there going to be relief there?
No. No.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. Why not?
Well, Teresa, you know, Teresa has a... People always say that to us when we go out. They're like, oh, she's a massage therapist. Walter, you're the luckiest man in the world. You must get a lot. Oh, you better... And as she puts it, the cobbler's wife has no shoes. So this is her profession. And, you know, she doesn't come home with, all right, do a monologue now. Come on. Give me a monologue. You know, she just wants a clean house and a hot meal. You know, so she doesn't care about monologues. I don't mess with her about massage.
Well, you're right. I hate it when people, oh, you're an actor? Do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Do something. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Shakespeare.
Well, Teresa, I applaud your solidarity, your firmness on that. Okay, everybody, welcome to Oh My God, Did You Just Say That? Now, let's get the ground rules straight here. We're going to chat for a bit, and then we're going to play a little game I've designed especially for you two. And, of course, you can win points in that game itself. But the big points come, and when I'm talking big, I'm talking three of them, in fact, three big points. Each and every time you manage to make me say, Oh my God, did you just say that? Along the way, anytime if you make me say that, you're going to score 3 points. Is that clear? Everybody on board with that?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Got it.
All right.
Something to shoot for.
Olympic gold, baby.
Okay, Sid, I want to talk cake. You like to bake them. You're good at baking them. I like eating them. Now tell me, are you an icing person or a cake person? Which is your favorite part, the icing or the crumb?
The questions you ask, so difficult. What is icing without cake? I mean, what is cake without icing, really?
Well, that's true.
I mean, I will eat cake without icing, but I usually won't eat icing without cake, you know?
Do you like a half-inch layer of icing or just a smattering of icing?
Good question. I like a good balance, and it depends on the cake, but I tend to like a little more icing, like in the middle. I don't like a limited amount of icing in the middle. I think that's cheating. I think that's sad.
Okay.
I think that's like trying to make something healthy that's really delicious and sugary. So, you know, give it a good
I know
half
that
an inch.
one of your special cakes is the lemon cake after the Cafe Europa lemon cake. And that has a rather thick layer of frosting in the middle. Is that correct?
It has cream cheese icing in the middle, which who doesn't love cream cheese icing? I mean, come on. And yeah, I like to make it. It's a good... It's usually at least a good half an inch, if not three quarters of an inch. Yeah. Then it's got a little glaze over the top. Very lemony, all freshly squeezed lemon in there. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is good. I've had it.
Yeah.
Now, is that your favorite cake to make, or do you have a different one?
That's a really good one. I will tell you, I have a strawberry cream cake that I like now, especially this time of year. I haven't made one yet for the year, but I hope to make one soon.
Fresh and light for the summer.
Very light, lots of fresh strawberries in it. You make a strawberry puree with the icing as well.
Look,
I mean, it's
this.
yummy layers of, you know, just very delicate cake, yummy. And Marilee Jackson, who writes for In Kansas City Magazine, who's a dear friend, has this amazing Buena Vista coconut cake that I love to make.
Oh my God.
I made that as a wedding cake for Kim Martin Cotton and Jacques Roy, our friends, when they got married, actually. So
nice.
I didn't know it was going to be a wedding cake, but it turned out to be one. So they liked it. It was really good.
Now, for our listeners out there, do you have any tips on how to keep a cake nice and moist?
Eggs are good. Eggs are good.
Okay. Put eggs in the cake. Okay.
Put some eggs in there. That's always helpful.
Extra eggs.
It makes it richer, you know.
Okay.
I learned from Phil Fiorini, our friend, actually, and some other sweet older woman who told me the trick of if you absolutely have to make a box cake, if you don't have time to make,
from
scratch, throw a little extra vanilla in.
Oh.
Yeah. I think if you use a little milk, too, in the cake sometimes, that gives it a different body.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so you might try that sometimes, too.
Wow. Well, thank
you. These are great tips.
Yeah, I'm hungry now. Okay.
Cake box guy.
You can really make one from scratch. It's not hard.
Okay, I'll try it.
Swan's cake flour, Walter.
It just seems scary.
It's not scary.
Oh, so you use
baking
the cake
is chemistry.
Flour.
Okay.
Yeah, I use cake flour.
Not the regular flour. Okay.
Yeah. Flour's important when it comes to
different.
Baking.
They're different.
They are.
There's your bread flour, your all-purpose flour, your cake flour, all those things. Okay, Walter, now you've been spending some time up in Chicago recently, and I know one of the things you've been working on up there is a recurring part in the Showtime Originals series, The Chi. Is that right?
This is true.
He's a star.
He's
a star.
Well, I don't know about all that. I've been very fortunate. I got very lucky and landed a recurring role as Principal Fields, the head of the Northside Academy, which the young ones go to, they attend. So very fortunate. Yeah, it's been fun.
Okay, now, yeah, and that's great, and I can't wait to watch you. Yeah, but since we're talking about food and cake here, I want to talk to you about a little bit something that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is something called craft services. Yes, we love our craft services. I mean, some people may not be familiar with the phrase, but these big TV shows and movies, they always have an elaborate and very deluxe spread of food and refreshments on the set. It's kind of amazing and horribly tempting. And they call it craft services. Yeah. So what kind of setup did the Chi have? A good one?
Oh, they had a great one. You know, and one of the things is that, like you said, you know, these big shows, you know, Showtime, and actually Touchstone Pictures is the producing partner for. So it's Disney. So yeah, a lot of money.
Hey, wait a minute. We got to pause here. Did you not play Touchstone in An As You Like It?
I did.
Did you direct that?
No, I assistant directed it.
Mark Robbins directed it.
And I was the assistant director.
I hadn't even thought of that.
At the Heart of America.
The Connection.
So you played Touchstone, now you're working for Touchstone.
I love it. And that's who signs my checks. Oh, my God. Obviously they've got the money too, and so yeah, it was these beautiful spreads. And so for craft services, yeah, for those who don't know, it's often like I said, it's snacks, it's coffee, it's drinks, and it's kind of to keep the cast and the crew and everybody kind of fed and kind of satiated during the long process of filming. But each show is kind of individual in itself. And one of the things I loved about The Chi, and maybe it was because, you know, coming out of the pandemic and it hadn't been a year and Black Lives Matter, it was to go on to this very Black-centric show. And suddenly I'm standing there and I realized, you know, the director is this, I think he's an Iranian-Canadian, and there's a Black writer, and then the rest of the cast is Black, and we're all standing there, and I'm like, this is amazing, you know? And what will craft services be like? Will it be Black too? And of course, it's all the regular stuff until the afternoon in which they come over to me and they go, Walter, we're having our hot snack. And I went, okay. So I guess in the middle of the afternoon, after lunch and so forth, they have a hot snack. Hot snack? Would you like some, Walter? And I went, what is it? Chicken and waffles. And I went, could this be any more Black?
Oh.
I will take chicken and waffles as a hot snack.
Oh,
so I'm the Chi, baby.
And that is a snack?
That's
chicken
your
and
waffle? Yeah, you know, it's a little kind of little chicken, a little waffle and chicken. And so I looked over.
Oh, my God. Did you just say that? Walter, there's some points for you. I mean, we got to give it to Chi, but chicken and waffles for a snack, that's going to score some points, Sid.
There's some
I understand. I will give it points. I'm going to just say, Niecy's, go there and get some chicken and waffles.
Oh, yes,
yep.
Yes.
It could, now, I will say, they could not touch Niecy's chicken and waffles. I'm very loyal.
Well, good job, Walter. Hometown proud.
Okay, now I want to shift to something that you both have very much in common. In fact, I think a lot of people in Kansas City have this thing in common. And in the middle of July, there is no better time to talk about the long-running Missouri Rep and now Kansas City Rep's annual production of A Christmas Carol. Yes, you both have a long and extensive history with that show, Sid. You were in it for, God, how many years?
13.
13
Lucky
years.
13, baby.
Wow. Yeah. And Walter, how?
I aspirated my cough.
I just choked up Walter.
About that. What? Oh, my God. Can you beat 13, Walter?
I don't know if I can. Hang on a second. Let me count. I think I do it this year, that'll be 13. I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you counting last year? Because you did a version of it.
I am counting last year. Okay. Yeah, because last year was
13 years. Oh my, now, is it like 36, 39 years?
Something like that.
Wasn't it 40?
I think they did the 40.
So it's a little over 40. Yeah.
Oh my God, the show is officially now over the hill.
Yeah, it's a middle-aged show at this point.
It's not as old as the plays I normally do, so I think it's very
well. That's true.
It's taking Centrum. That's where it's at.
Okay, since we're going to talk Christmas Carol, and it's July, we're going to make this show Christmas in July.
Hey!
Ding, 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 ding. Yes, we could use some thoughts of snow and shivering and pine trees right about now, and to help put us in that mood, I've got a little treat for you all. Here's Miss Evelyn Tewksbury.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with the holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all.
Wow.
Oh,
it is the most wonderful song of the year.
Oh, my.
Very special. I mean, like that is really going to put you in the spirit, right? That's Miss Evelyn Tewksbury, everyone, our resident song stylist. You know, I can't wait for the full Christmas album. Mm. That sucker is going to fly right off the shelves. Don't you think?
Fruitcake.
Like
it's
going to
be as good as fruitcake.
I love it almost as much as I love fruitcake. Don't you, Walter?
I do too. And I think it'll be like fruitcake where there's just the one that's passed around from person to person. We'll all just share that album.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of passing around and food, I want to have some dish. Now, during your collective 26 years doing Christmas Carol, what kind of disasters or mishaps have happened in the days of Christmas Carol? Ghosts missing cues, children running amok. I bet we've got some good stories out there.
No, nothing. It's just like a clock that bad boy ran.
maybe for you. I got a couple, let me tell you.
Well, you start.
Okay. So I remember in the olden times, we used to be on the side stages. So all the actors would be, if they weren't in a scene, would mostly be on the side stages making noises like the wind. And
I remember
this. Oh, yes.
And ghost noises, spirit noises, you know, that kind of thing. And being involved sort of tertiarily to the scene, right? So during one of the early morning school matinees, which, you know, are always a little hard for actors when you're getting up early and singing and trying to get your voice ready and you're doing all that. So I'm sitting on the down stage on the lower level, side stage on the left side, right out the most prominent onto the stage. And we're doing the scene where they go to the schoolyard to find young Scrooge as a boy, right? Scrooge
Christmas
is a boy.
Past. Yeah. Yes.
And so Peggy Friesen, brilliant as the Ghost of Christmas Past. And Gary Neal Johnson was playing Dickens at the time. And we had an out-of-town man, James Cahill, I think was his name. He had the longest hands I've ever seen. I'm not kidding. He was a very tall, lean man. He looked like a perfect Scrooge. And they're out there, and Peggy's trying to bring the kid up from the bombs, and Gary Neal's doing the voiceover, you know, we found ourselves in a schoolyard, you know, and, you know, doing Gary. And then suddenly, there's no kid. Peggy's vamping. Peggy's doing all of her spectral. She's supposed to bring the kid up from the bomb. He's supposed to appear magically. And then Gary Neal gives it another try because there's nothing happening. He says, they were on a snowy road near a schoolyard, you know, and nothing happens. And
become so everyone's more descriptive.
Every actor anywhere near the stage is, you know, we're in full clench, right? We're all like, and we're breathing and our hearts are pounding. And suddenly this giant Scrooge says, "Spirit, come with me," and starts walking toward me. Well, there's a door to go off stage. So he walks past me. Peggy comes walking past me, and there's no one on stage. And I'm the only one people can see a lot because they've all drawn the attention to me. So I'm sitting there just going, what's happening? Why does no one stop this, right? And I kept thinking, I just was frozen. You know, you don't know, there's nothing I can do. And they finally found that the kid was downstairs in the bathroom and hadn't heard the cue. And then pretty soon they come walking back past me with this kid. And then they go do the scene. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm thinking, why didn't I just get up and go, hello, I'm Fan. I'm Scrooge's sister. You know, I mean, I should have just done something.
And here's my song.
Yes, I shall do it now. Where's my tambourine? But I didn't. It was horrifying.
At 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, you just don't. Oh, my God.
I love a proactive Scrooge. Come, spirit, follow me. We'll go find this child in the bathroom.
Yes, we'll leave the stage.
They left the stage.
We'll leave the stage.
Dead stage.
Drag his little raggedy ass on stage. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, do the scene with me, boy.
Oh, my God. Now, Walter, you have played Marley, the ghost of Marley,
yes.
who usually comes up from the traps
yes.
on an elevator thing
yes.
rather rapidly.
Yes.
Has that always gone smoothly?
Oh, no, that's my story, actually. I you know, the Marley thing, yeah, it's this beautiful special effect that happens to kind of, you know, give a jolt to the audience as well, Scrooge, where stage gets dark and quiet and dark, very dark, and lots of fog. And basically, I'm below the stage, and a door opens, a panel opens, and then a series of panels open, and then a lift shoots me up through the floor. So this is the first preview of the, I think this is the first year I'm playing Marley. Maybe it was the second year. But anyway, it's the first preview. I remember that. And so you're all geared up, and you're ready, and I'm getting, you know, all right, let's go up there, be mean, let's be Marley, and I got my chains, the smokes, they're like, stand by, Walter. And you can hear the stage manager calling the cues. The smoke starts billowing up, and I'm waiting for the panel to move on the door, and I see the a series of doors move, but the last door goes halfway and stops.
Oh!
And I went, what the hell? And I'm sitting there, and then I hear him go, try it again, and nothing happens with the door. So I thought, let me try to push it. I don't know why I thought this, but I reach up with my hand, and I try to shove it, at which point Gary Neil Johnson is on stage, seeing all of this happen. I'm wondering what's happening. And then he sees my little hand come up and move away. And he's like, okay, one, he might lose his hand. And he's not coming, is what Gary decides. This is a problem for stage management. And so he goes back into the bed and closes the bed curtains. So the stage is blank with a bed and a door that doesn't open and all this noise. But no Marley. The guys running the trap look at me and go, hey, Walt, I think you're going to have to take the stairs. I'm sorry, what? We can't get the door open. You have to take the stairs. So all my gear, we come down off of this thing, which is like climbing down a ladder. I go out the back door, up the side stairs. And of course, I'm furious. And it's just building. The further I walk, and the chains are clanking, and I'm just dragging them up these stairs. Well, I guess in the audience, you can hear all of this coming from the basement. Just and I come in through the side stage, and the ASM Rachel goes, Walter, come in this way. And I went, no, I'm coming from the back. And I walked through the back of the stage because I wanted this entrance straight up the back. And I came through, and all the other actors who were standing there waiting for the scene to start looked so relieved to see me. And I come onto stage, and Gary's little head pops through the curtain, and he screams a scream that was real. Because it wasn't like, oh, it was like, oh, my God, and he falls onto the floor. And he looks at me, and he goes, Jacob. And he said, I almost said, thank God.
He told me later. Walter.
And he said, I almost said that. Walter, oh, thank God.
I mean,
but he literally said, Jacob, oh. And then I went into the scene. And I have never been more furious or fierce.
Oh, I bet you were brilliant.
I was pretty hot.
That's
all I can remember.
Well, get in. Come on, we're gonna go. Oh, you.
Okay, now it's time to get on to the game portion of our show. And since it's Christmas in July, this game is going to be all things Christmas Carol. Now I'm going to ask you a series of questions having to do with the Dickens novella and the Casey reproduction, and points will be tallied. And right now, the score is Walter 3, Sydney 0.
Wow.
Oh, I know.
I told a couple of really good stories.
You did.
Well, I didn't say...
I don't know. The cake was
oh, my God. Did you just say that? Okay, I'm going to give you 3 points just for good stories.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I don't want your sympathy points. Good Lord, man.
Okay.
Gird your loins, Walter.
All right,
we're going in.
All right. It's coming.
Okay, the
it's
first question is
thing.
A two-parter. Okay. And the first person to buzz in on the first part gets an advantage. And when I say buzz, I don't mean buzz, because, Walter, to make your noise, I think you have a horn.
I do.
Yeah, okay,
there
that's Walter's noise. And Sid, you, well, of course, you have a tambourine. Excellent. So, okay. Sound. Oh, my God. Did you just say that? There you go. You got the 3 points.
Yes. There you go.
Legit.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay. So, sound off if you know the answer. Part one of the question, and I just want the number. How many named and unnamed children are there in the Cratchit family?
Ooh.
How many named and unnamed children? Sydney?
Okay.
5.
5 is incorrect. Walter?
Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm going to say named and unnamed.
Named and unnamed.
Oh, God. I'm going to say 6.
6 is correct.
Oh, Walter.
Ding, ding, ding. Walter gets a point. There are 4 named children and 2 unnamed.
Illegitimate.
In the book, they said the 2 other younger kids scamper about and create lots of havoc and whatnot. But so the second part of this...
Unfair. I'm sorry, but Walter played Cratchit. I never played Cratchit.
Well, he did have an advantage.
Yeah, he should know how many children he had.
Well,
I mean, that's basic acting.
Sometimes it was more than 6. I don't know.
Well, yes.
It was the year that I had 12. I don't know how that happened.
So the second part of the question is, I want you to name the named Cratchit children from the oldest to youngest. And Walter, since you got it right, you're going to start with the oldest Cratchit children. What is that child's name?
That child's name is Martha.
That is correct. Sydney, what is the next child?
Peter.
Peter is correct. Walter, what is the third child?
Belinda?
Belinda is correct. And Sydney, what is the fourth child's name?
God bless us every time.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. So you each got 2 points for that. Oh, my God. So the score is now Walter 6 and Sydney 5.
Uh-oh.
Okay, here's your next question. The characters of Ignorance and Want appear in the book and the play. Now, which one is the boy and which one is the girl? Sydney got the jump on the chime.
This boy is Ignorance. This girl is Want.
Ah, that is correct. Point for Sydney to tie the game
up. Olympics!
This is very exciting.
Okay, I got to throw this in because it's a Christmas Carol story. One time, I believe it was Rusty Sneary was playing Ghost of Christmas Present, and the children come out from underneath the skirt.
Yeah.
One of them had not gotten there yet.
Oh.
So when he went to introduce him, so he said, "This child is Ignorance." And then the other one scampered out and he went, "And this child is Tardy." We were in rehearsal.
This child is late.
This child is very late for their cue.
Okay.
Where were we?
It's doing good. We're done. Our next section is a can you finish this sentence section.
Ooh.
I'm going to read off some of the famous lines in the book and the play, but not quite finish them. And if you think you can finish that sentence, I want you to honk or shake in and do it, okay?
All right.
Okay, the first passage comes early in the play when Scrooge is talking to his nephew Fred, who has come to wish him Merry Christmas. Now here goes, see if you can finish this sentence. Ah, if I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and... Sydney?
Buried with a stake of holly in his heart.
Ooh.
Pretty good. Not exactly right. Can you correct it?
I can.
Walter?
Buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Through his heart is
through
right.
Heart.
The point goes to Walter.
You don't know how many times I had to hear that line?
I haven't heard it for many years. Remember? I may have changed it in the script, too.
Yeah.
We're working with 2 different scripts.
Yeah, I think that's
okay,
right.
It's
hardly
it's the way it is in the book. I went to the source. I went to the source.
Okay. Who read the book? I mean, I read
Dickens
the script.
Guy,
Sydney,
really?
Don't be bitter about losing.
I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter.
Okay, our next one comes and... He may have an advantage on this because he's played Marley, but the next one comes when Marley's ghost has appeared and Scrooge doesn't believe he's real, and he says, "You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's..." Walter?
More gravy than grave about you.
That is, oh, well, there's a little addendum. If you could add on to that.
Whoever you are?
Whatever you are.
Whatever you are.
I'm gravy, then I'm grave about you, whatever you are. All right, Walter, another point
good
for
job,
Walter.
See, and you can see how much I pay attention. I paid attention as Marley. Because basically, I'd get on stage, and it was like Gary would say something, and then I would say, and then Gary would shut up, and then I would do my lines. See how connected I am to my other fellow actors.
Yes, I do.
Oh, Walter Cobbins, the consummate professional actor.
Gary goes, la, la, la,
the craft,
la, la, la.
The
Gary says
your line, your line, your line. Me.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Gary does something, and then I say, and then
I'm a fascinating ghost. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
Okay, our next sentence comes right after the ghost of Christmas yet to come has shown Scrooge the headstone with his name on it, and Scrooge is repenting. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I shall live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Oh, tell me I may...
Sponge away the writing upon this stone.
Yes, that's it. Sponge away the writing on this stone. That line always.
Sponge
what's sponge away?
Away?
It sounds too
away.
Weird. But
that was
that's
not
that's
in the
line.
Original. Sponge. I mean, it might be in the book, but it was never in the.
Oh, it's in the book.
It's
in the
magic
book.
Magic eraser away.
It's yes.
A, it's in the book.
Power
not,
wash.
It may not be in Barbara Fields Swiffer. Back when you were in it.
It was
but,
not in the book.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to give you a point, Sid, since you didn't know.
He's so generous just to sign.
I know. Okay.
I love this.
Okay, now our final one.
Thing.
Okay, our this final one here, get right. ready, comes ready. At the joyous end of the play when Scrooge is waiting for Cratchit, who is coming late to the office. He says, "Wah, I tell you what, my friend, I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, Sydney?
I shall raise your salary.
Yes, I am going to,
I'm about to raise your salary.
Mine was always, you're fired.
Walter didn't want the play to end well.
I didn't. It did. It was a sad, tragic tale. Mine
Walter's
was
a commentary on right. the state of America.
Right.
I think.
Basically, Scrooge woke up and he went, "Ooh, it was all a dream."
Thank goodness. Where's my money?
You're fired.
I'm about to tally up the game, and the final score is Walter 9, Sydney 8. Walter, you are the winner.
Way to go, Walter.
Congratulations.
It was a valiant fight you put up there. I loved it.
Yes. So, well, thank you so much for being here. It's been a delight. And I think Miss Tewksbury has another little surprise for us.
Oh, please.
Please. No. I mean,
yes.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be.
Oh, my God. Did you just say that? It's a production of Kansas City Actors Radio Theater. Our guests today were Walter Coppedge and Sydney Garrett. The sound design and engineering were by Mr. Thomas Newby, and the musical entertainment was by the ever-lovely Miss Evelyn Tewksbury. I'm John Rensenhouse, your host, and until next time, stay healthy and stay tuned.
Hark, how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, this is the song with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they bow as the sound, oh, and the loo-loo-loo-loo. Gaily they ring while people sing so songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On this and on, with the cheerful tone to every home.